Wilderness Protocol, if you're ever out backpacking or whatever, and you get injured, and say you got a HT with a little battery, and you can't leave your radio on all the time, the protocol is 7 a.m., 10 or 10 o'clock, 1 o'clock, 4 o'clock, 7 o'clock, every 3 hours. And that 5 minutes after, on the hour, you know, make a call. So I think if you were going to do a net chat, you should just kind of follow that wilderness protocol because it's kind of known. So, you know, just 7 o'clock, 10 o'clock, et cetera. And if you don't hear anybody in that five-minute span, you save your battery and move on. KO4JKV.
Well, there you go. Okay. There you go. That's amazing. Daniel, you still in there?
You're KI4DTY. Like the odd man out here, I don't know as much about what you guys are talking about. I understand the basic concept, and like I said, we've talked about this some. I guess the only thing I maybe would add is that I know that one of the things that was mentioned was how would you know, you know, how are you going to break it up? And I like the grid system. And I guess, and I may be totally wrong on this, so definitely you can correct me. I guess the best way to do it is almost do it in areas like the grid system. So let's say that I checked in for, or, you know, somebody, I'm just using me as an example. I checked in for all the Taylor's people, so all the Taylor's people could contact me, and then if somebody needed help or wanted help, you know, I'm close enough to Taylor's, I pretty much could get to anybody here, and so for everybody in Taylor's, and almost have like a Greer grid, you know, a Campobello grid, you know, whatever that is. And then you can have your main people that they're the ones who's chiming in to the main net. I don't know how that would work logistically, just a thought.
Let me make sure I got it. And Larry, we're gonna get you next if you're in there, still in there. So here's the conundrum, or one of the conundrums is, let's just say hypothetically that an ice storm hit this repeater and it's down. With it, it took a cell phone tower or whatever. This depends on how deep you want to go in the rabbit hole with this. But just for the sake of training and learning your station and radio, what would you do if you and I have a simplex channel, or if you and I met on a simplex channel, what would you do if I said KI4DTY, call your stations and be an alternate NCS? Once you've made your calls and collected that information or needs or traffic, report back to NCS. Now, realistically, what would you do? What would go through your mind?
Comment.
Yes, sir, we'll get you just a second. Comment. I want to make sure Daniel sees what I'm seeing in this point of view here. More than likely, I'm thinking that you would go, oh my goodness, what am I going to do? I've never done this before. How do I do that? And that's some of my point here, is that you have different levels of experience, and you have to try to teach a complicated topic at the same time with different experience levels. And that's some of the struggle is what I'm trying to say. So, okay. KK4JBQ and then the comment. I'm sorry, sir. I don't mean to be rude, but Larry's been waiting a while. So, Larry, you still in there?
JBQ. Yeah, I'm still here. I'm a little bit concerned that we're hampered here by a specific protocol to use. The best one I've heard of to answer some of the issues is the Wilderness Protocol. I looked it up, and it sounds pretty good. At least it's a consistent protocol. How you might modify it for your particular use is just a good place to start. And also I'd add, Chad, that I'm acquainted with the area Aries manager, also a ham, of course. And I could mention this to him and see if perhaps a conversation with him might clear up, after we get past the rudiments of what we're talking about here, how he might add to that. Aries does training all the time, and he's very knowledgeable about emergency responses. Just wanted to offer that. KK4JBQ.
Go ahead, comment.
N4DJC, Jerry and Anderson. I just wanted to mention, of course, Larry mentioned Aries and races stuff. We did that when I lived up in Rock Hill. We had a very active club. We had a couple hundred members, I guess, at our club station. Had everything. And we had when Hugo came through, we actually had the repeater was up, but we had several in the area, but we had just to conserve the power of the repeater. We operated simplex, and we had a protocol up there that if the repeater was down during normal net time, we'd go to a 5/8 simplex. And we had three guys. Had one, it was located centrally to York County. He had a 120-foot tower and had an EME station, so he had I think he had 422-element Cushcrafts on 2 meters. He could run 500 watts pretty easy. And I had two 22-element Cushcrafts, but mine were horizontally opposed because I was horizontally oriented because I was on a 2-meter side bed. And typically what we'd do, we'd just start at the north and call on 5/8 and clockwise and move to the east and so forth. We do that. It's a similar way they do 2-meter sideband dance now because that's so directional. It's hard to get 2 meters is pretty tough unless you got to run a lot of power to on a gain antenna to operate more than maybe 25 miles, 30 miles unless you're at a real high elevation. That's what we typically did it, and with that much gain, you can figure handhelds, from 15, 20 miles sometimes. But you had to have somebody that had a fairly tall tower and had to have a good bit of gain as far as antennas and run. I normally ran about 180 watts. So they didn't have any trouble hearing me, but I could hear them even with what I had as horizontally opposed, because I ran a preamp as well. And that's basically what a lot of people have done in the past on 2-meter sideband. And I think it works pretty well, but we already had that set up with us. It's been 30 years ago, so it was pretty common and we do a test net every once in a while. And there's still a 5/8 simplex net now. I think I can't remember the guys out of where the hams out of Spartanburg and that, but they run a simplex net on 5/8 now. And I don't know if it's on Wednesday nights or when now, but they still run them. And I run a lot of simplex here. I live in Anderson. We got two or three guys I talk to, and I don't even get on the repeater. We just talk on simplex. Both of us run about 60-65 watts. It's kind of tough on the handheld. Anyway, I just thought to interject that. That's something to think about. Larry's definitely on the right track. We're getting in touch with area coordinator, because that does make a difference. Because our protocol is civil, you know, I used to be a member of civil defense years ago, and, you know, sky worn and all that sort of thing. It's been 30 years ago. It does start to introduce that comment. You guys carry on. Enjoy listening.
Thank you, Jerry.
And it's come up several times about what's the first step. And looking over it, I think the first step is to determine what stations can talk to which stations. The last station on, talking about Simplex around Asheville, using 60 watts or so. I don't know if I can talk to Asheville by Simplex given my location. So I think the first step is all of the stations that are interested in it is to find out what stations they can contact. From that, develop a series of net plans, because if two stations can talk to each other, but not to a third, but the third can talk to a fourth, you basically have two setups there. And I think if everybody at a different time makes a call to see who can come back and talk to him, then you can develop a net plan for that.
Okay. Anybody else wanna comment?
Thinking about it, we are talking on a repeater that crosses not only county boundaries but also state boundaries. It might be more appropriate to, I think Tryon is in Polk County, and it's possible that there is a regional coordinator who very likely would be willing to come and talk with the group about establishing such a thing. And if indeed this is something that would follow a standard hierarchy of organization, then everything would become clear. Now, whether it still fits in with the capabilities of the group is another thing, but it's some place to start. And to invite the Ares Regional Coordinator would be a good thing to do. I'll still talk with Robert about this, but that's probably going to be the first thing out of his mouth. He might be willing to travel to a club meeting. I can't speak for him on that, but Chad, you might want to look into the Ares coordinator for that region. KK4JBQ.
That, Larry. Okay. Well, that's a lot to think about. I think obviously, statistically, if you look at just the numbers of who has contributed tonight, I would take a gamble and say that I'm not sure that our club is the only people that thought about this. So, just saying that, I mean, I'm counting, I think, nine comments on this already. That's pretty interesting. Just put that in the back of your mind, and I think that this is something that is worth pursuing in the right way. You're exactly right. And I think this is so complex, or can get so complex. Well, let me say, I'm sure some ham operator that has done this for 50 years and has experience under their belt, you know, they might think this is comical. Oh, well, you know, I've been on Simplex nets. It's pretty simple. But for somebody like me, yeah, I'll get it. But it's just, it seems pretty complex right now. and I've got to get some rules down. And there's a lot of good things I've taken from tonight. The Wilderness Protocol, the mind map from Ed, the Aries Coordinator from Larry, and Patrick establishing, you know, either time groups or allowing different stations to do, be in control and check in here or there and collect that information, which are all wonderful, great ideas. I just trying to figure out a way to get all that down into a SOP, in other words, standardized operating procedure. And I'm thinking right now, I'm still on step one is determining the trigger. Because if you don't have something to tell people to go to this frequency when this happens, then a simplex is not going to work unless you're sitting there all the time monitoring the radio. And I don't think that's just, I don't think that's feasible. But if there is a trigger that happens, just for example, if the weather tone goes off, then, or the news says that, you know, a weather front's moving in, then a good operating procedure would be, okay, now we implement something like the Wilderness Protocol. Every 3 hours, monitor this frequency. You know, I'm just saying, I don't know what's right, but the ideas that I've got, and especially the Aries Coordinator, I think that's a really good place for me to start, but somebody else pick it up.
JBQ. Chad, I was curious about what the ARRL might offer in terms of resources or commenting on such a thing, and there is a page, ARRL.org/forum/topics/view/1237. But you can get there just from the Wilderness Protocol search. The ARRL has something to say about this. The thread is about a year old, but it's acknowledged that this is important, and I haven't signed in here yet as a member of ARRL, so I can only read the opening topics, but there is help with the ARRL. KK4JBQ.
04NUE. Let me make sure I got it. The ARRL, how you do a topic search for NCS. There's a rather lengthy document in there dictating the NCS's responsibilities. It's not written by the ARRL, it's written by another club, but it covers so many scenarios that when you read through it, I read through it today, and being somebody who attempts to be an NCS, and I read through that today, and I got 3 pages into it, and I thought, man, I suck. I mean, I'm horrible. You read these protocols here, you know, for an NCS, and it's just like I'm just wrong on so many levels. But that, you know, that's geared toward a certain scenario, and I get that. But okay, I'm gonna be quiet. Somebody else pick it up.
Go in. Doing a good job as an NCS, controlling who's on, taking people in the order. following the conversation to keep it moving. So I think you're doing a real good job. Whatever guidelines you're looking at, handling traffic is a little bit different, but you're handling it pretty good here. I have a question. Did you receive my phone message with the picture of my mind map? Over.
But I also already had it drawn out just from your description, and I was pretty close. But yes, sir, I did get your image. Yes, sir.
And if my description fits that's what people are drawing, over.
Okay, let me pause here. KO4NUE, KK4JBQ, WD8RON, KO4HKX, KI4DTY, KI4LZI. So we're good. Somebody pick it up. KO4NUE. Let me make sure I got it. No comments. I'm assuming that this, I'm hoping that this has, I know it has for me, let me put it that way. This has for me caused me to rethink the whole idea of Simplex and to get organized and be professional and responsible with how this is done. Because the number one reason for me is that the first thing I learned when I came to this net months ago and started asking questions was that I knew the people that were contributing to me, that they were giving me the right information instead of just baloney. And I know that is very important, very important, that something this, under the right circumstances, critical, and I want to reiterate, under the right circumstances, that be taught the right way. And I do not think it's a topic that can be taught in 1 hour. I think this could be practiced and taught for months at a time, if not years. But at the end of the day, too, I think that has to be my number one goal initially, is to make sure that the right information from the right sources is collected, correlated, and distributed in the right way, in order to set the example and to teach and learn for myself. Larry, do you disagree with that?
Before JBQ, no, I agree with what you say, and I certainly respect your concern to get it right. One other thing that I've gleaned from the ARRL page, which is titled Follow-Up to Wilderness Protocol, is an idea that hadn't occurred to me, and that is, depending on the terrain and the ability of individuals to speak to even one other person, 2-meter communication has its limits. It might be good to include in somewhere in the organization of this net the ability, at least two people, the NCS and one other who has HF capabilities, because with an NVIS antenna, you can talk locally even in mountainous terrain. the example here is given of the Grand Canyon. And so we know how enclosed that is. But on, I guess 10 meters perhaps. NBIS is an antenna lower than half a wavelength. You'll get a radiation that goes nearly straight up and nearly straight down, a coverage of maybe up to 500 miles. And terrain doesn't matter that much to HF. And 10 meters is right on the edge of what we understand to be HF and VHF. Just one other operator and yourself, Chad, I know you have 10-meter capability. You could communicate and perhaps reach somebody who can via the radio or some other capability notify someone that's unreachable otherwise. KK4JBQ.
That's something to think about, Larry. One last thing that I wanted to share was, so after reading information today on a proper being a NCS proper, there was a lot of interesting information in there, but one of the first ones I read was that, now these are suggestions. There's no policy. At the end of the day, the club dictates what the NCS is supposed to say, and that's the club's policy, and as it should be. But one thing that I found interesting was that this one particular club posted their rules to be an NCS, and because of the terrain that they were in, the location that this particular club, their NCSs are required to transmit with their voice or say with their voice every 15 minutes what the time was, which, I mean, that's kind of neat. I mean, not that important here, I guess, but I just thought that was kind of interesting that, the NCS does a lot. He collects and distributes and controls and flows, and makes things flow so information can be moved and this, that, and the other. So with that said, I'm going to say that it is 23:35, and we are 25 minutes away from the courtesy tone. So that's useful, right? So at any rate, I'll turn it over to anybody else who wants to pick it up. Ed, you still in there, sir?
Throw in. I am just playing around with Google. I've got... I get it right. Army Simplex Net. That's correction. Army Simplex Radio Net. It'll bring up a page of references with different nets. Go down a couple of pages and you'll find one for images of Army Nets. You'll see a couple of guys in fatigues, battle gear. And go to the far right. Then you'll see a bunch of diagrams that you will find interesting. Kind of like the one we've been talking about tonight, but I think you'll find a lot of information there that might be useful to you.
I'll check it out. But I definitely will try to make contact with at least an EOC or an ARES coordinator somewhere. And Larry, if you could please give me that gentleman's call sign, I will do what I need to do to try to make contact with him and just say, hey, I just want to make sure, I'm doing the right thing here. Where do I start? That kind of thing. But this has been wonderful. I mean, I've got a page and a half worth of stuff written down that I need to go look at and research and figure all that out. So I certainly appreciate all the inputs. But I'm gonna monitor this KO4 NUE. Anybody else want to comment?
KO4 NUE, KO4 JKB, one more comment. Well, I've really loved to listen to you talk about Simplex and trying to get everybody, on the same page with Simplex. But I was just thinking the same thing of doing Simplex, exercises up here in the Asheville area. But I was thinking, since you and Anna are a team, you could, when you start doing your nets, get a gigantic map out and have those, thumbtacks are, colored like white, yellow, red, blue, whatever. White could be, this person, put their location, their name, call sign, their HT with a, rubber duck, and then the HT with a decent antenna, and then the red is, something over 10 watts, and do that. And also, and then when you're doing the nets, instead of just going through the net like regular, instead of like normal nets, pause for EchoLink. Every few check-ins, just pause for relays, because if you got the big microphone, they'll hear you, but you're not going to hear them. But somebody you can see them on the map, they can relay someone that wants to get a message to you that you can't hear them. You know what I mean?
I have two. If you'll go to a welcome center at the state line next time you're coming down 26 or 85, you stop there at the welcome center, and they have free maps. So the Landrum exits, 10 miles from my house. So we rode up there one day and got two big South Carolina maps. It's got a little bit of North Carolina on it, too. And they're on the wall here in Ham Shack. And what started that was the last bad rainstorm we had, which was back in the summer, and they activated the Warns repeater system. So I listened in on that, and during the storm, my power dropped out. It surged. Lost the internet, so I could not track the storm anymore. I didn't know where the storm was on radar because the power drop knocked my server off. My router offline. It shut the radios down. Now, it didn't stay gone long, but my point is that here's the lesson I learned with that, which you're right, was that the weather center gives a direction of the storm cell for a reason. So I've got a little round disc that simulates a storm size, and wherever the weather station that says that storm is moving, I pin that on the map. So I know where the storm is moving because I want to know how it's going to affect me, obviously. But you're right. And I digress. You're right. And I do have stations around me, not all the stations. But I do also think that is one of the reasons that your call is probably public information. And I'm not sure about this, and I hope I don't get in trouble with Dave, but that may be a reason why the NCS collects the call, the name, and the location. So you know where these stations are around you in relation to you. I don't know exactly where you are. I know you're in Asheville. But that's useful. It's not, in my mind, it's not being nosy or violating privacy. It's, if I need help in Asheville, I know I could call KO4JKV, possibly. That's the way I look at it. But I was just, yeah. Okay. KO4NUE, somebody else pick it up. We are 12 minutes away from the courtesy tone.
KI4LZI.
KOE is KO4JKV. That's totally cool. Yeah, I know. They know where we're at, you know. You're not going to shake that at all. But, yeah, I just wanted to say that the Simplex thing, that is the biggest thing for especially technicians that just have, you know, 2-meter or UHF. And to be able to coordinate, especially down in, you know, upstate South Carolina, a really good, robust Simplex network, that's awesome. And you inspired me to try that up here. I'm going to try to meet with the Spivey Mountain Club this Thursday and just to meet them. But otherwise, you know, I can do it myself. But, yeah, I think that's important. I forgot what I was really getting ready to say, but I just got to say much respect, and you inspired me to get my general. I'm scheduled to take the test this Saturday in Marion, but I don't know. I might have to kick that back a little bit. Man, it's hard. KO4JKV.
KI4LZI back.
We got you, Andy. Come on, man. Just dig. Dig a little deeper. Just dig a little deeper and just go do it. Just do it. KO4NUE.
Woo!
LZI. Now, I didn't, because obviously I couldn't hear the VHF or UHF from here. It was going on down there in Louisiana in 05. There's no telling how many nets was activated in that happened during Katrina down there in 05. And I know from here during the time I could hear the HF activity. Plenty on 40 meters, and I'm sure they had a lot of Simplex nets going on down there at the time down there as well. So it's kind of like when you go to look for your past relatives. It's kind of one leads to another, another to another, all in a kind of a chain type situation it is. So, you're right, it can be kind of difficult to figure out which goes where and what goes where, but it does happen, especially in times like what happens in an 05. It does happen. KI4LZI.
NUE. Here's what we'll do. When we get enough information collected, then I'll just ask Dave if it's all right if I put out, you know, Simplex, since Simplex time, just to see how all that works and see, you know, if people want to check in or whatnot. Because I know eventually I'm going to be the same place I am with the antennas. I'm just going to have to do it. Just get as smart as I can, as quick as I can, and then just do it. And the flounder and fall and bust my nose and just get back up and, you know, just do it. That's where I'm going to end up, and that's nothing wrong with that. I'm pretty thick-skinned, so it's gonna better everybody, betterment for everybody, and make everybody stronger, and have a whole lot more faith in the system, and force people in the right way to learn and want to learn, and that, I think that's what this is all about. At the end of the day, the root of this is trying to care for community. And that's what this is about, ultimately. You know, and that's gonna limit some things, but you know, I think I know that's our driver, just trying to care for the people around you and help those when they need the help. And that's, you know, that's never a bad thing. So we are 11 minutes from the courtesy tone.
JKV, I'll keep it under 11 minutes, and I just want to say, Chad, I appreciate everything you say, and I just wanted to add one more thing. This is probably old hat to a lot of experienced pros, but there's probably a lot of technicians like me out there thinking about this, especially when it comes to a prepper situation, is that every time you hear a net, especially if you have an HT that has dual VFO, put the other one just on VFO and tune it into the input frequency of the repeater. It's like you're listening in reverse. So every time someone checks in, toggle back over to the input so you can kind of see who in a realistic situation you can actually maybe perhaps talk to in an emergency. So there's a lot of people on this net I can't talk to, but there's like Harry and Candler that I can hear. But just write those call signs down in an emergency, that maybe you can call them out and point that antenna in their direction. KO4, JKV.
Good idea. Good idea. Never thought of that. I do have a reverse function on this radio, so, you know, I may do that. I may do that tomorrow night when Walt calls in to, you know, see kind of who's close enough to, you know, make contact. That's nice to know. And I think probably the respectful thing to do if you intended on using that information would be to just, you know, hey, let them know, hey, Harry, I picked you up on reverse. If I'm ever up your way and need some help or something, you know, we broke down on the road or an emergency or something, yeah, you're not going to have an issue if I call. But here's the deal with that I've learned when I went to France, was that, you know, you can always say any station, this is, and put your call out there. And just explain the situation. You know, I need some assistance. Any station. I haven't met a bad person in this hobby yet that I don't think would step away from trying to contribute and help. That's just good faith in humanity, you know. But that's where I'm at with it.
KO4 JKV, I guess we're about 5 minutes away, but yeah, that all makes sense. And also, not just log people that you can hear on reverse on this repeater, but other nets too. Because, like, I'm in Asheville, and I listen to two Tennessee nets, which are due north of me. I do the same thing, so I keep a logbook of all that stuff. Like, who's close enough to me? Maybe they're in Weaverville or Mars Hill or Spruce Pine. And, you know, in an emergency, maybe I'll point my beam that way. And maybe their beam happens to be pointed towards me just enough to hear me.
JI4LZI. Some people will be intentionally trying to do something out of the ordinary, but you know what I was telling you about, Duncan, when I was a guest the evening, about the FM Simplex that's going to be going on that weekend in January? You tried to see how many Simplex people, too, you can work while you're at it. Of course, they're not. Most of them are going to be at their home stations. They'll intentionally be somewhere on a mountaintop, but in a roundabout way, though, that will help you out in a roundabout way kind of by telling them in what directions, if you happen to be at home, where you've got shadows, where you've got mountains in the way. I know I've tried that here many times here. If you're not on Caesar's Head of Sassafras Mountain or Glass Mountain doing simplex, I won't hear you from here at my place. KI4LZI.
LZI, this is KO4JKV. And yep, I went to the ARRL website today and looked at that specific contest, and I'm all in. Even though I can't do as much as all the people with better gear than me with the SSB and CW, but I plan on going to a, it's real close to Mount Mitchell. It's like an offshoot. It's kind of like a secret place, but you get a really good southern exposure, and you're very high up. I mean, you're just really on the shoulder of Mount Mitchell. So if I do that, I'm going to get a battery for this new radio that someone gifted me for Christmas. I'll look for you.
Hell's the guy. Well, here where I live out here, it won't happen. I can just, it's very conditionally when I even hear Mount Mitchell here. Or Pisgah, because Caesar's Head up here where these are at puts a big block on me from getting those repeaters up there real well. From my location here, it just, it's a block all the way around. And me trying to get stuff off Paris Mountain is about the same way. I've kind of learned from my home location here, it almost takes everything I got, unless they're on those particular locations, just to try to talk to people on Simplex. That's what I meant about the topography. The lay of the land. With VHF, UHF Simplex, that's a critical, critical thing.
Yeah, I know that once I got my first HT, I used to listen to the Mount Mitchell repeater. I don't know the VHF frequency, but the UHF was, I think it was 443-600. It was like a relay, like from the VHF. They just shot out a UHF relay, and I could get it perfectly in my house. I love listening to them. And I could only talk to that repeater if I drove to South Asheville or right up on Mount Mitchell, so I get it. I live right beside a big granite cloud, so I, you know, even though I'm close, you can't get to it. It is line of sight for sure. But now that you mentioned it, Andy, maybe I should just, if I do get that contest in January, I should just get out at the Caesar's Head Visitor Center. Maybe I'll be able to talk to a lot of familiar voices.
I hear you from there. If you're up on Caesar's Head at the Visitor Center, and I'm on the outside antenna here, but here on VHF, UHF, and it's even more critical and simple, very critical. The lay of the land is very, very critical and important. Now, in the case with that contest, see, most people will be going for the mountaintop. So, in a certain way, it won't help, but yet on another certain way, it will. It'll kind of, for someone who don't do a lot of simplex work, or like some of you new people have, it'll kind of give you the feel of how it, how it will be compared to when you're at your normal home just working a repeater that you can get in with no trouble compared to how it is without a repeater. KI4LZI, I don't know who else is in here, but go ahead, Chad. I don't know if the others are here still or not.
KO4NUE, so we're close to the 3-minute limit coming up, so just be advised. Anybody want to pick it up? 04NUE. Gentlemen, I appreciate the QSO. I appreciate all the information. I'm going to try to digest everything I've written down and get it into some kind of order. Make contact with a coordinator. When I do that, I'll bring this back to a round table. and share what I've learned. And just want to say thank you so much for everybody sharing and just generally just showing interest in the topic. So with that said, this is KO4NUE, and I will be 73 to everybody. I enjoyed the QSO, and thank you all so much for trying to contribute and help. I have no idea how much I appreciate it. KO4NUE, I'll be clear.
KI4LZI. Talking about an emergency coordinator. You never take and talk more with Mandel over here in more depth and detail. Hey, like I told you before, he's DC over here in Pickens County. He can give you some more pointers on that. About, you were talking about the emergency coordinator, EC. He's the one for over here. Go ahead, Duncan, KI4LZI.
Caught the last part of that, KO4JKV.
We did. I didn't know it, but go ahead and say it.
Cindy, I thought you said my name and asked another question or something. I didn't know what you asked. I kind of turned away and couldn't hear the radio very well.
Well, see, I wasn't really asking a question, but I understood Chad said he wanted to talk to an EC, an emergency coordinator. I was just pointing out to Chad that WR4XM, he is the EC for over here in Pickens County. And I was just telling him whenever he can work things out, he needs to talk more in depth and detail with him about some of that. Because he is an EC and has been over here. Well, as far back as I can remember, anyway. KI4LZI. Go ahead, Duncan.
But I thought you were talking to me. So, yeah, if they're out there and want to talk to Chad again, go ahead. And thanks for the information, Andy. And I'll be here tomorrow night. And good night, everybody. I got to get some sleep. This is KO4JKB clear.
JBQ.
You are still here or not, Larry. Go ahead, KI4LZI.
Just hanging back. There's, you know, everybody else needs a chance. Chad, are you still on frequency?
I am, Larry.
I just wanted to advise you that I'll give the Greenville County coordinator a heads up to expect to hear from you at some point. Just my way to make the introduction. KK4JBQ, everybody have a good night. I'll be 73.
24NUE, I'm clear.
How's the guy? Turning it off.